Welcome back. Pull your chair back up to the table and have a seat as we continue to read with or for understanding the epistle to the Galatians. I wonder who wrote this epistle. I wonder who this scroll is from. Might say somebody living in Galatia in, say, 44 AD or somewhere around there. Once again, you can't just hit, control page down. You can't look at the return address label on the envelope. The guy's, signature at the end of the scroll doesn't do you any good because you have to unroll the whole dang thing.
Mm-hmm.
So right out of the blocks, Paul. Well, which Paul? An apostle. Oh, the apostle Paul writes this to us.
Correct. The one that visited us.
Ah, we know this Paul.
The one who taught us.
And who sent him to us? Who does Paul think that he is, that he should come and lecture us about the ways of the Lord?
Well, I'm glad you put it that way, because Paul, when he says, an apostle not from men or through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father. And the Father, of course, raised Jesus from the dead. Very interesting that Paul, this is not ego. This is not sacerdotalism. You know, this is the thing.
This is not Paul being a leader in the sense that the leader is used in the church today.
Correct. Say more about that.
He does not come. He comes. This is Paul. When Paul says that he is an apostle, it's servant language.
Or sent one.
Well, yes.
As the Father has sent me, so I send you.
The Lord, the Master, has sent me to serve you with his words.
That's right.
So Paul's taking himself out of the picture. It's the exact opposite of being egotistical.
Yeah, that's where I thought you were going.
Yeah. So this is from, it's like Kuhlman preaches. People, you know what? When you plan your summer vacations, you need to plan a side trip to Trinity Lutheran Church in Murdoch, Nebraska on a Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m., and listen to Pastor Kuhlman preach. Because he'll say things
I'm going to have to get the checkbook out now.
Yeah, audacious things like this. I'm here to tell you because the Lord sent me. And then he speaks a word of the Lord as if he has some authority to do so. Well, indeed he does. The Lord has called him, has set him apart to be his mouthpiece. No different with the Apostle Paul here. So, I'm the Lord's messenger, sent by the Lord, because you need to hear what he has to say.
And let's just push that a little more. So the preacher, like Paul, and the preachers in the church today, they don't speak about people, they speak for. So Paul speaks for the Lord. Pastors today speak for the Lord. Why? Because the Lord sent us. Now I think we can begin to understand, not only in Paul's day, but today and till the end of time, why people want to eliminate clergy. And I mean that. So, what am I getting at? I'm getting at the heart, I think. I think I am. I think I'm getting at the heart and the root of what's really going on when a congregation says, "We're going to release you, and we'll give you 2 weeks severance because you're not a good fit." I'm putting the worst construction on this, but just run with it. What's really probably going on is the old Adam and the old Eve in all the members of the congregation have an external authority who says, you're a sinner, I don't give you permission to sin. And secondly, I've come here from the Lord Jesus to forgive you all your sins. And the old Adam and the old Eve says, no, thank you. I'm not a sinner and I don't need Jesus as Savior. I'll take Jesus, but not as Savior. Give me example, Jesus, on how to reach my potential or whatever it may be to cope with my family life or whatever. But what you see, are you following what I'm saying here, Scott?
Absolutely, absolutely.
I think we play around. I think the church just plays around or purposely avoids the real issue. Now, maybe that's the case. Maybe the church is purposely not dealing with the real issue. She may know it and just doesn't have the cojones to deal with it. By the way, this is another thing. Men being men. People, if you're listening to this, and if you're tracking with what I'm saying, you need to pray that the Lord will provide men in the office of the Holy Ministry. And when I say men, I mean the German word Mensch. I've mentioned this before a long time ago. It's one thing to ask the Lord now to provide us with men in the ministry, but add to that men who are actually men. That is to say, they will not cave. They will be men, not like Adam in the garden and stand there and watch, or not like Aaron in Exodus and just, oh, well, yeah, give me your gold. And Moses holds him accountable. What happened here? Well, you know, I just threw this all together and out came this calf. I didn't know what I was doing. Really didn't have any control. That's not a man. Aaron and Adam had the wrong genitalia at those points. They acted like women. It's time for men to be men in the ministry. Now, back to what I was saying. I think we've got to the root and the heart of what's going on. And it's always been going on, and it will continue to go on until the end of the world. Why is it that people don't want pastors? It's because the pastor is the one sent by the Lord. And it's the Lord who's the authority. And so when people reject the one sent by the Lord, it's as Jesus himself says in Luke 10, he who hears you hears me. But if you don't hear, then you're rejecting me and the one who sent me. That's what's really going on, I think. And I think we need to admit that. I think we need to repent of that. And we need to deal with it in the way that the scriptures teach about it.
I'm gonna say the same thing. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I'm going to say it a little bit differently. Sometimes people, you repeat things for the sake of emphasis. People know the account of Jericho, that God's word does what it says. And people, by nature, have their walls built up where they feel safe inside. And when the man of God comes and speaks God's word breaks down those walls, and it comes in and it slaughters and kills the old Adam. And the last thing in the world that the old Adam wants is for that to happen. So when somebody shows up and dares to speak from the Lord and to speak the Lord's word to you, the old Adam gets very defensive.
Yes.
So you get
mine does.
So when Amos comes a preaching in the Old Testament, who in the world do you think you are, Amos, to say, thus saith the Lord, go home, quit preaching to us here? That's just a way of keeping the walls up so the old Adam doesn't have to die.
Right.
Now, diagnosis then for the preachers today, and I'm going to bring the leader language back in, because in the church today, leaders, you know, what kind of pastor do you want? You want a leader. What kind of servants are we producing for the church? Servant leaders. Leader is the buzzword. You know, leadership is, you know, don't get me wrong, people. Leadership is good in and of itself, but sometimes it is used in a way that runs contrary to God's word. The difference between a man, a mensch, and a leader is that the man whom the Lord says will speak God's word to the person. Thus saith the Lord. And he will hold tenaciously to that. Whereas the leader will come in and give you his words. And he will hold tenaciously to his words and his vision for leadership. Because that is what is important for you. And the people, I think, know this. The old Adam in us says, do I want the mensch, the man, or the leader? I want the leader, because his words are not going to tear down my wall. I'll be able to be my safe old Adam.
Yeah, leader and vision caster is the euphemism. Now, again, I'm putting the worst construction on it. Leader and vision caster is the euphemism for let us do what we want. Now,
let us build for ourselves a tower. Let us, you know... let's build a golden calf and say, this is the Lord who brought us out of Egypt.
For some evidential factors, let's put it this way. If you want more evidence of this, extra biblical evidence of what we're talking about, go on the web, do a Google search of Ralph Waldo Emerson. Okay, so just Google Ralph Waldo Emerson. It's the Harvard Divinity School address that he gave at July 15th, 1838. Now, Ralph, imagine this. Ralph Waldo Emerson. And if you know anything about him, you know that he is a total God withinner. That is to say, he is an enthusiast of the highest order. And he addresses the men at Harvard who are going to be pastors in the church in America. And he does exactly what you and I are talking about. He tells these men, you cannot trust the word, you cannot trust the sacraments, you must abandon all those things, and you must point people to themselves. The Walt Disney way of doing things, the intranos look. That's where you find the spark of divinity, and you finally reach your potential. This is what the pastor's all about. And that hasn't changed one bit, folks. So do that Google search, Ralph Waldo Emerson and his Harvard Divinity Address in July of 1838. This is one of the most fascinating reads you will ever encounter in your life, folks. And you'll think, you'll say, man, Kuhlman and Porath, I'm glad they pointed me to this, because you will then realize, if you read this, you will. I think you'll be helped in understanding what we're talking about when we say, why do people not want clergy? Why didn't Ralph Waldo Emerson want typical old-fashioned clergy? Maintenance ministers, as they're called today? Because they speak an external word from the Lord, both law and gospel. And the old Adam and the old Eve says, no, thank you, don't want it. And Emerson says, I'll provide you with pastors that won't kill your old Adam. In fact, they will help your old Adam reach its potential. See, this is the satanic lie. When the old Adam is taught, you can have free reign and be like God. And then what? That's not pastoral care. That's all in the way of death, by the way.
Right, right.
And the church's death.
You want to talk about becoming an enabler.
Well, and you want to know why the churches then? Why is it that all the Ivy League schools who began as Puritan, hardcore Calvinist schools, are now no longer anything close to that? They want nothing to do with that heritage. Well, now I think you'll begin to understand why. When you're God withinners, well. So they'll take clergy, but only the clergy that enables the old Adam.
Yep, the old Adam finds many and various ways to protect himself and to stay alive. But the Lord comes chasing down the old Adam to put him to death, so that the new man might live. And the new man lives by faith.
Yeah.
Not in himself. Not in the leader's words, but in the thus saith the Lord.
And Paul is nothing of the sort of a Ralph Waldo Emersonian preacher, because Paul, when he writes his letter to the Galatians, he lets them have it. As I'm indicated right before the break, he says in verse 6, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Usually in the ancient world, in the first part of the letter, you give thanks. So, and Paul does this elsewhere, but not here.
So the hearers would be astonished by Paul's astonishment.
How dare you, Paul?
Yeah, it's because they know. I mean, they're already settling in. They know the pattern. Grace, mercy, peace to you. I give thanks to God for you. But grace, mercy, peace to you. And then I'm astonished that you have deserted.
I think, putting the worst construction on it today, if Paul were a pastor in the Missouri Senate, he would be reprimanded. He would be told, you need more eye contact when you say these things to people, and don't be so crude and rude. Don't offend people like this. They get enough of the law in their lives at home. They don't need it from you.
So what is a good fit for you, folks? What is a good fit with regards to the pastor that the Lord gives to you? I would suggest simply one who will speak God's word to you. God says that's a good fit. When the old man is put to death, and the new man is raised to life in Christ. Well, such joyous living to you, folks. Peace be with you.